automation, artificial intelligence, robotics. Depending on who you are, these can be scary words for your industry. I'm Jessica Salerno, and welcome to the State of Business with the Ohio Society of CPAs, the show for CPAs. In this episode, we're talking about the effects of automation in the manufacturing and distribution world. In May, I attended a roundtable held by public accounting firm Gilmore Jason Mahler called Automation Nation, a panel discussion on robotics in manufacturing. I spoke with two of the panel members before the event began about the impact automation will have on manufacturing and distribution. And although our discussions focused on Northwest Ohio, areas throughout the state are feeling familiar parallels with what's discussed in this episode. We're covering robotics, AI, workforce, and the skills gap, and asking if Ohio companies will be able to keep pace with this changing industry. First up is Jim Robbie, Director of Regional and Economic Planning Services at the W.E. Upjohn Institute for Employment Research in Michigan.
If you look at the data, it's really clear that Moody's and others are forecasting increased output with declining employment. Mm-hmm. And how is that going to happen through the topic today? The use of artificial intelligence, AI, the use of digitalization, mechanization, automation, robotics.
And how would you say that this affects specifically areas like Findlay?
So we do a lot with the Regional Growth Partnership in Northwest Ohio, and certainly if you look at their unemployment rate, you look at their labor force participation rate, their unemployment rate is relatively low, their labor force participation rate is good, and they still can't find workers. Mm-hmm. And so what we'll expect to see is really two paths. One, probably new firms that are recruiting or expanding are going to go heavily into automation. And over time, the evolution of existing firms to move from Industry 2.0, which is manual, to Industry 3.0, which uses some automation, to Industry 4.0, which is the Internet of Things and AI and all those sorts of things.
Mm. And how do you feel like this affects the skills gap in Ohio? I know that when it comes to unemployment, there's a conversation about the skills that are needed and the skills that aren't there.
You know, I think part of the problem is going to be that it's going to require what are called middle skills to fill these jobs. And those are skills that are earned usually in a post-secondary environment up to but not including a four-year degree. So maybe mm-hmm. certifications, maybe specific trainings, apprenticeships, associate's degrees, and other things. And so it's going to require numeracy, literacy, soft skills, and other things to have these jobs. And right now, about 40% of the jobs in the U.S. are in low-skill areas, and not only in manufacturing, but in services. And I think those are going to evolve away as people use more technology to meet the requirements of their businesses.
You might start to hear more about middle skills. According to research from the Harvard Business School, 69% of HR executives say their inability to attract and retain middle skills talent frequently affects their firm's performance. Harvard released a report titled Bridge the Gap, Rebuilding America's Middle Skills, and said when it comes to these types of jobs, businesses should focus on creating high value, providing decent wages, and a path to increasing lifetime career value in roles that are hard to fill. We'll touch on middle skills more later in the episode.
And when it comes to, you know, how automation is affecting unemployment, what do you think people don't know that they should?
Boy, that's an interesting question. You know, certainly at this point, we're starting to see people make investments in robotics and automation. If you look at, and I probably know the statistics of Michigan a little bit better than Northwest Ohio, but there's some places that are into the 2%, 2 to 3% unemployment rates. And if firms want to meet their contracts, they're simply going to have to automate. That's all there is. Mm-hmm. You know, automation, you know, people, machines don't go on vacation. They don't call in sick on Monday. They don't worry about whether the Super Bowl is this weekend. And they do break, and that's where the middle skills come in. You right. get these people that know the technology, that how to fix them and keep them running.
Do you think the industry is prepared for that?
Another very good question. I think some are. Certainly, if you look at the foreign direct investment, the firms coming in, the firms making new investments, expanding or thinking a lot about it, I think there's a group of people that are looking at it and know it's coming. And I think there's a whole group of people who have no idea what's coming. And in fact, some of my work now at the Institute is talking to companies, we're starting next week, to see what they're thinking and what they think their workforce is, not just 2 years from now, but 5 years and 10 years out, what their business model will look like.
So how can communities prepare for that? Another panelist I spoke with is Tim Mail, director at Finley Hancock Economic Development. He talked about the importance of positioning areas like Finley to capture opportunities where companies will invest.
Because for automation, they can make them here, they can make them Georgia, they can make them Mexico. A lot of our manufacturers have facilities all across the world. And so what are we doing as a community and a state to position ourselves and make sure we're ready for those investments? And that's tricky because a lot of times incentives are all tailored towards new job creation. And sometimes these projects are job retention. Sometimes there are no job creation tied to it. Mm-hmm. And everybody wants economic development and think about new jobs. We got to make sure that we're looking at metrics that talk about throughput, quality, profitability, volume, things like that.
So what does this mean for areas specifically like Finley?
Automation. Mm-hmm. It's critical. Take a look at safety, quality, everything that we're so closely tied to the automotive industry. And when you're tier one trying to compete for Honda, Ford, GM, Fiat, Chrysler, mm-hmm. the consistency, the product, reliability, all those different things you need to have in place. And that all requires automation at some level. So making sure that we are putting our community in position to have companies make those investments will help us keep those jobs here. Because the last thing we need is a company making a decision to either move equipment or take new business and put it somewhere else because we weren't prepared for what they needed to do.
Absolutely. And so what does getting put in the position to take on that new business entail?
It takes, you still need workers to operate on that equipment and understand it. So we work with our Mills Ring Career Center. We work with Owens Community College. We recruit talent. So talent is always a component. Mm-hmm. Utilities change. There's no doubt about it. So you need more power and things like that, infrastructure. So we're making sure all that's in place. And ultimately, we're just trying to do everything we can to make sure that they understand they can make this investment here. Mm. When you invest $150 million somewhere, you're going to be making that investment to amortize over 30 to 40 years. So we want to make sure that they're comfortable. It could be on permitting within the community, but they're making a large capital decision, and we want to make sure that they're comfortable making it here.
Tim and I also spoke about recruiting talent to areas like Finley.
And how do you make sure that the talent is available?
Talent is something that every community struggles with across the country and across the state of Ohio. We think we're uniquely positioned in Finley because of the community we have. When you take a look at Ohio, northwestern Ohio, and we have a company like Marathon Petroleum headquarters here, that brings along with our Performing Arts Center. We just changed our main street and streetscape that, our parks. So when you look at a 42,000 person community, the amenities that we have in our community are much different than every other 42,000 person community, but you still have that small community. So we're able to go out and reach out and talk to potential employees and introduce them to the community first and sell the community. And then we know we have open positions and then we introduce them. So we actively recruit from my office individuals to come to the community.
So recruiting is key. Finding people who have strong middle skills is key. The scary thing that many people mention when it comes to automation is unemployment, which Jim talked about.
What would you want people to know about automation and how it's connected to unemployment moving forward and for the future?
Well, right now, you know, unemployment is very low, but I think over time, my real concern is that will invert, and will there be enough jobs for people? Mm-hmm. And that's not only in the manufacturing sector, but also as we look into the services sector. Warren Buffett was quoted saying that one of his companies, Geico, which everybody knows, using artificial intelligence could move from having 36,000 employees to 10,000 employees. So I think a lot of people think that manufacturing is going to be like agriculture, highly automated, highly productive, and people have jobs in other areas. Mm. The problem is that if you go to we were just in Paris recently, but it's also true in Ohio. If you go into a McDonald's in Paris, there's no one there to take your order. It's all done by kiosks.
Wow.
You pay there and everything. The only person we saw at a McDonald's on the Champs-Élysées was someone who handed us our bag of food.
Mm-hmm.
So, you see those more and more here.
Right.
And so, you know, where will people have jobs unless you have at least middle skills to high skills? Most people may be replaced by machines.
Do you think middle skills are something that universities and secondary education emphasizes?
Unfortunately not. I had the opportunity to speak at Penn State about a year ago to 150 people, electeds, appointeds, higher ed people, economic developers, business people, and asked how many people had kids and grandkids, and I'll make a number up, but 85% of their hands went up. I said, you all know that there are manufacturing jobs that pay well and other things, and this was in kind of central and eastern Pennsylvania. How many of you tell your kids to go into manufacturing? And not one hand went up. So those jobs exist. Nobody drives them there. One of my grad students when I was in Cleveland did his master's paper on this. But he was told by someone in the Cleveland Metropolitan School District, a counselor, that it was unethical to send students anywhere but a four-year institution.
Wow.
So there's a lot of opportunity there. There's good money. It's highly technical. But those... no one's encouraging people to do that. I have four kids, three have post-baccalaureate degrees, and my son, equally smart, put my arm around him and said, because he wants to work with his hands, go into the trades, go into manufacturing. You know, the thing, one of the great hooks of manufacturing right now is that if you have numeracy and literacy and some soft skills, like you show up for work and that sort of thing and work a full day,
mm-hmm.
that many firms will educate you all the way to master's degree in engineering and other things.
Mm-hmm.
So there's tremendous opportunity there, but we don't seem to be able to communicate well. Economists always assume that information is free and everybody knows it. In fact, it's likely asymmetric that high school counselors, and particularly parents, don't know the type of work, which is now clean and I won't say easy, it's often hard work, but that with that middle skills, they can often earn a living, and they can earn a living where they live. They don't have to commute or go somewhere else, much like they would if they got a college degree.
Thank you to Jim Roby and Tim Mail and Gilmore Jason Mahler for hosting the roundtable. We'll continue to update you on the impact the automation industry will have on Ohio businesses and CPAs. As always, follow us on social media. You can find the links to our channels in the episode description. And if you like the podcast, tweet at us and let us know. Or even better, tell someone else you know to listen. Send me your thoughts on this episode or an idea for a future podcast at jsalerno@ohiocpa.com. Thanks for listening.